on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Zach Mettler joins us from Focus on the Family. And as we approach Memorial Day, Zach, I know you've taken some real time and effort to really look at this weekend and this holiday specifically through a biblical worldview lens. So thanks for joining us. Looking forward to looking through some content you've provided for the listener.
It's always a blessing to be with you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Well, and I want to draw our listeners right to the dailycitizen.org. If you do a search for Zach Mettler or Memorial Day, you'll find this article he's written, Don't Forget to Remember. Zach, as we jump into this, I will tell you, I regularly remind people in a kind way, hey man, it's not just about hot dogs and steaks. There's so much more to be thinking about. What can you tell us? Just tell us a little bit about the history of Memorial Day and really what we should be considering.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great point. And, you know, sometimes Memorial Day is referred to as the unofficial start to summer, and people, you know, plan on gathering with their families and grilling and having hot dogs. And that's all fine and good. There's nothing bad with that. That's a good thing. But it only goes so far in honoring what the actual purpose of Memorial Day is, which is, you know, it's our nation's foremost annual day to mourn and honor those 1.1 million men and women who have given their lives in defense of our nation from the time of our nation's founding. And so I really think we need to keep that in mind, especially as we commemorate Memorial Day this coming Monday. But it dates back to a kind of an early tradition in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, October 1864, where three women began decorating the graves of fallen soldiers right near the end of the Civil War. So that was part of the early tradition that they began. But then the idea of having a specific day every year to do this dates from April 26th of 1866, when the Ladies Memorial Association in Columbus, Georgia formed for the express purpose of improving that city's cemetery, which was in total disarray. And the secretary there of that organization wrote a letter calling for this restoration, which was published in a local newspaper. And she said, we have to set apart a certain day to be observed and be hid down through time as a religious custom of the country to wreathe the graves of our martyred dead with flowers. And that was the city of Columbus, Georgia. There's some debate over whether it was Columbus, Georgia, or Columbus, Mississippi. There was another city that had a very, very similar event just one day earlier. So there's some debate among historians of which city, Columbus, Georgia, or Columbus, Mississippi, actually gets to claim to have the first kind of Memorial Day event. But in any case, that was kind of the start of it. And then you had President Lyndon Johnson. He established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in 1968 through the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. And that's been in place ever since. And we paused on Memorial Day to, again, to honor those who have given up so much, given up everything for us, for our homes, for our families, for our nation, and for our freedom.
Well, I'll tell you, we were talking off the air, you know, and as a military brat, I was raised in the military. Dad served in the Navy and in the Air Force. I was actually, not to get us off track here, but I would encourage people also to do a search whatever engine works best for you. But actually today, Friday, May 22nd, the Friday before Memorial Day is Poppy Day. And to maybe look up that, I didn't even know about any of that until, I don't know, maybe the last 5 or 10 years, but connected to Memorial Day. So if you see someone walking around today wearing a red poppy, you can look it up and find out what that's all about. But Zach, very interesting history. Let's consider, why is it important, you know, as Memorial Day approaches, and for those of us who have children, to really take the time to teach them about the day and why we celebrate?
Well, I think as Americans, number one, and then also as Christians, we honestly have a moral duty and a moral obligation to remember those who have died in defense of our nation. I think of President Ronald Reagan. He gave a speech on Veterans Day, actually, but he talked about those who have fallen in battle and given their lives for our nation. He talked about how it's kind of a strange thing for us to honor those who have died in defense of our country, because we see these individuals as old and grave and gray-haired, he said, kind of like the founding fathers were. But in reality, that mental picture that we have isn't quite accurate, because most of them, nearly all of them, were very young when they died. They were just boys, essentially. And he said that they gave up two lives, one that they were living and the one that they would have lived if they had not died for our nation. He said they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country and for us. And all we can do is remember. And I think that is so important, that these individuals who are brave, who are courageous, who are heroic, they have given up and paid the ultimate price for us. And the only thing that we really can do is to take time on Memorial Day to remember their sacrifice. And I think that, again, that places a burden on us to see Memorial Day as not just a three-day weekend, not just a time to get some extra, catch up on sleep. This is an obligation that we have to be throughout the day, do something to honor and remember those who have died in defense of our nation. And I remember just a few years ago walking through the National Archives in Washington, D.C., and reading about Operation Overlord with the Allies' courageous landing in Normandy, France on D-Day, June 6, 1944. And I read about the different companies that landed there, and one of them was Company A of the 116th Infantry Regiment, which landed on Omaha Beach. And the first soldiers that stepped off those boats, those landing craft, to storm the beach, they had a casualty rate of over 90%. And I think that is just stunning, the amount of fear and bloodshed that went into this heroic effort. And I had a friend and mentor of mine who I was talking about this with, and he said this line, which I'll never forget. He said, "Where do we find men like these?" And I think that is a crucial question for us to ask. It's a good and fitting question for us to ask, that these men are a select group of individuals who deserve, because of the nature of their sacrifice for us, deserve remembering. And that's all that we can do is remember.
Yeah. And for those, in the age of Operation Overlord and D-Day and Omaha Beach, World War II, many have called it the greatest generation. That question resonated with me. Where do we find men like these? And they're here. They are, no study or anything, but I wonder, what proportion of our United States population would be filled, though, today with men like that compared to those times, and our nation has changed greatly since then. And the other thing that stood out to me, you mentioned the age of these soldiers, and for those old enough like me to remember, in the 1980s, there was a top 40, I believe it was made top 40, but a radio song simply titled 19, and it made clear that the average age of the combat soldier in Vietnam was 19 years old. You speak the truth, Zach, and I appreciate the time you put into this. Sometimes it's said that Memorial Day, like we talked about, it's a holiday, that you don't celebrate really though, but you should be considering commemorating. Can you talk about, the difference here between celebrating and commemorating?
Yeah, you bet. I think many of our national holidays are geared toward celebrations. They're celebratory in nature. Easter, Christmas, these kinds of things are great and totally worth celebrating. But I think Memorial Day especially has to take a little bit of a different tone and a little bit of a different attitude within our hearts, because, again, this is our nation's foremost day to mourn and honor those who's sacrificed so much for us. I think of Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And I think that includes mourning, and that's something we're not very good at as modern Americans. We're creatures of comfort quite honestly and quite frequently, and we don't like thinking about death and what that means for us and for our future. But I think we have to at times face the reality of what we're dealing with, and that's certainly true on Memorial Day. Is what we're remembering is a very solemn and important occasion, and I think we have to have a kind of a different tact and a different attitude throughout the day, throughout the weekend, to take time to pause and recollect and consider what we're actually trying to remember this weekend.
Well, Zach, you do a great job bringing it around for us to use a biblical worldview lens as we do this. And Jesus in the Last Supper, right? He reminded, he said, when you break bread, when you partake of the wine, remember. And I think that's part of the commemoration. But how can Jesus's example, not only what I mentioned, but obviously his torture before death for us, How can Jesus' example of giving his life for us impact really how we do view Memorial Day?
Yeah, no, it's an important question for us to think about. And, think of just John 15:13, where Christ said, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. This is what love looks like. And the reason, part of the reason we have to remember the sacrifice of those who have died for us is because they showed a great act of love for us. If you even think about that, the people who they didn't even know who would live in the future, they laid down their lives in an act of love for us, for our nation, and for our families. The late Justice Antonin Scalia, who I absolutely love, one of my favorite Supreme Court justices, if not my favorite, he spoke about Xavier High School, his alma mater in New York City. He graduated from there and went back and spoke, I think, in 2011. And he talked about that school's tradition of military service and how courage is the primary virtue that is fostered by it. And he said that he thought that military service is not only appropriate for Christians, it is conducive to Christian virtue. He said, I know of no other profession where one commits to laying down his life for his friends. You think about that. The way of living of our current service members and those who have died in defense of our nation, their way of living was living out John 15:13, that their vocation in life was to put into practice what Christ is talking about here. And whether the different service members are Christians or not, they're in a very real way living out what Christ commanded and how Christ lived himself, coming taking on the form of a person, of becoming human in the incarnation, living a life, dying on the cross for us and for our sins. That is a reality, and I think people in the military model that, whether they know it or not. And so, especially for Christians in the military, it can be a path to virtue and living out a life of courage and sacrifice and love. It's a very noble calling. And so I think we have to remember that both for those who have died on Memorial Day, and also, naturally, I think we think of those who are currently serving as well on Memorial Day, that they are living a life that is so important and so noble and models the real character of Christ.
Really appreciate you sharing the verse and reminding us about the ultimate, laying down your life for a friend and that act of love. And, and as image bearers, as ambassadors of Christ, I would encourage, listen, some of us may do that someday, physically lay down our lives for a friend. You don't need to wait until then to give to others in this way. I think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. Dying to yourself and considering others more, more highly than you consider yourself, that there's something we can meditate on as we go into Memorial Day and remember those who did give the ultimate sacrifice. We're up against a break. We're visiting with Zach Mettler from Focus on the Family, and he's put together a great piece for the Daily Citizen, thedailycitizen.org, Memorial Day. Just do a search for Zach Mettler or Memorial Day. You'll find that article. Zach, can you stay with us? I'd love to dive in a little deeper.
I'd love to. Looking forward to it.
All right. We'll take a quick break and come back after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
We continue our conversation with Zach Mettler. He's a writer and issues analyst with Focus on the Family and the Daily Citizen. Go to thedailycitizen.org. Do a search for Memorial Day and see a piece that Zach has put together. We're kind of walking through some of that content now, Zach. So thanks for sticking with us through the break. And let's dive in a little deeper. You know, Zach, you're going through your review of Memorial Day, and it's obviously front of mind. Do you think it's okay to, you know, as we try to look at all of this through a biblical worldview lens, is it okay to mix faith with politics, or for our military members to openly display their faith, or also a secondary, how important is it to speak up and speak about Jesus Christ? Not only all of us, but, you know, opportunities in our military.
Yeah, no, I think certainly mixing faith and politics is certainly something that, you know, we're all as Christians called to be salt and light. That is something that we are supposed to do. And so there's nothing wrong with having your faith, your Christian faith, inform your political views. And sometimes people have a very strict idea of, you know, the separation of church and state. Well, that actually dates back to Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Association. And he used that phrase in a very particular way to actually talk about how the government, the state, was not going to get involved in the affairs of the church. It wasn't that, you know, Christians can't get involved in politics. It wasn't that Christians can't use their faith and their values and their beliefs to inform their political views. That's not it at all. But sometimes people use that phrase, you know, separation of church and state in a wrong and out of context sense. And I think we have to remember what was actually going on there. And so certainly I think Christians, again, we're called to be salt and light, and in our representative republic, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to get engaged, and that's true for everyone, including our military members. And so certainly, if you're a member of the military, absolutely, it's totally fine for you to be open about your faith. You know, you don't shed your constitutional rights, your right to religious freedom, because you've sworn an oath to the Constitution, right? That would be ludicrous if you sign up to give your life in defense of the Constitution, in defense of their nation, and as a consequence you forfeit your constitutional rights, right? That would be crazy. And so no, you absolutely have a right to share your faith. And there's, you know, there have been multiple cases that I've written about where you know, service members, their religious freedom and constitutional rights have been violated. And I just recommend to people who that happens, First Liberty Institute. They have a fantastic military division. They're a 501c3 nonprofit. They represent Christians and other people of faith for free, trying to defend the rights of those who have their constitutional rights and religious freedom violated. And so if you ever run into a situation, I'd refer you to First Liberty Institute. And they have also a religious liberty protection kit for the U.S. military that you can Google. That's literally the title of it, Religious Liberty Protection Kit for the U.S. military, so that you know your rights. And when those are violated, you know where to go. And so, you know, I think we all as Christians, whether we're in the military or not, have an obligation to embrace the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We have to go and make disciples of all nations, and that includes any of us, no matter what state of life we're in. And so I just encourage everybody to not kind of hide your faith because of your vocation or because of your profession, but in a prudent way, and in a way that's open to the Holy Spirit's leading and to God, to be willing to enter into those conversations and to share the gospel with a world that is so desperately in need of it today.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned sharing the gospel with every nation. And real quickly, because it's in our Action Center at klyt.fm, go and find out more about this ministry, Transform Iran. that have been working in Iran for decades. And never more appropriate, obviously, now to reach out to those who need to know Christ. And Zach, you know, with the war in Iran, what can you tell us? You know, I mean, obviously, in the midst of war, I mean, who really wants war? I'm not sure there's some, but we want peace. Can you tell us, in the midst of what we're living through, what can you tell us about biblical peace?
I think, especially when we think about wars and tribulations and things that we have going on, the Christian, as Christians, we have the just war tradition. And so we know that war is never desired. It's never something to hope for or aim for, but it is sometimes necessary. And so we kind of remember that as we view and analyze these different conflicts of, you know what, in this fallen world, in the state that we're in, the state of sin, that Christ has not come yet and set all things right. Sometimes war, unfortunately, is going to be necessary. And so that makes serving in the military an honorable and noble calling. But we also know that Christ is the Prince of Peace. I think of John 16:33. In the world, you will have tribulation, Christ says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And so in these different times that we face in our own lives, whether we're in the military or not, when we face times of temptation, of struggle, of suffering, we know that as we put our hope in Christ, he helps us in those situations. He helps us get through, and we look forward to a day when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes and set all things right. Because again, Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he will come to set all things right. And I think of Romans 8:28, right? God can work all things for good. And so even no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're struggling with, even if we've lost a family member, in the military, God is there with us, and we put our hope in him because we know that this world is not our home. And we strive forward, hoping that the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, will come soon and set all things right.
Okay, so Zach, I mentioned earlier, hey man, it's not just about hot dogs, steak, and hamburgers and what have you as we head into Memorial Day. But I'm going to tell you, as I think, think back to like some of my favorite memories from Memorial Day is having family over, and when we would grill, we would grill up everything, and we purposed to have, more than enough, an abundance for those that were at our home and would wrap up all those. We'd be eating barbecue leftovers for days. But, connecting it with the true commemoration that we should be doing on Memorial Day, I will tell you, as that is a memory, but I thank those who served and stood between us and those who would do us harm and evil. And the sacrifice that they gave, that we would have the liberties and freedoms that you've already mentioned in today's conversation. Any memories for you stand out, Zach?
Yeah, well, one thing my family tried to do growing up is we would take time on Memorial Day to go to the local military cemetery. We live right in the shadow of the Air Force Academy, and so we would go over there and just walk the rows of tombstones and gravestones that are there, and in a very real sense remember and recall those who have given up so much for us. So you're definitely right. There's nothing wrong with having family over and grilling everything under the sun. But as we do that, I think, especially for parents and grandparents, use the time and use that family time as an opportunity to really teach your kids and impress upon them and your grandkids in an age-appropriate way and manner that the blessings that we all have, freedoms, our families, they're paid for by the blood and sacrifice of others. As they say, freedom is not free. And so I think we have to use this opportunity to impress upon our kids the sense of gratitude that for those who have given up so much for us. So I'd encourage parents and grandparents especially to do that this Memorial Day, whether that's just having a conversation or if it is taking them to the local military cemetery. That's another great thing to do. And then also, as summer trips are planned, consider taking a trip to Washington, D.C. and Arlington National Cemetery. I've been there multiple times. Every time I go there to D.C., I try to take my time out of my day to go to Arlington because the silence of the rows and rows of white tombstones really ends up speaking volumes about the sacrifice that so many have made in defense of our nation. So I'd encourage just those practical things that you can do to really instill within your kids and grandkids a sense of gratitude for the sacrifice that so many have made for us, especially on this Memorial Day.
All right. I appreciate your encouragement for all of us to be commemorating. Zach, quickly, some final words for those that are still active duty service members and military families.
Well, I would just thank them for their service. You know, I mentioned that, you know, our minds kind of naturally go to those who are currently serving, and it's a noble calling that you're engaged in. And I just thank you for your service and ask, you know, you to I pray for you and know that there's hope in all this different circumstances that we face through Christ. And, you know, I have a couple different service members within my own family, and I'm praying for them constantly and so grateful for what they've done and continue to do for our nation.
Yeah. And as those families have shown sacrifices and really been left in a place where, you know, oftentimes a breadwinner is gone now. I would encourage those that know someone who's in that situation, or if you are, to do a search for Folds of Honor New Mexico. It's a national organization providing scholarships for families of service members wounded or lost. Folds of Honor, if you're not familiar. But I will close with this, Zach. You're a generation younger than mine, and it is an encouragement to me to hear your passion for this, that the next generation is aware and will be commemorating. So thank you for your hard work in this. I encourage our listeners to go to thedailycitizen.org to find the article from Zach Mettler. Zach, thanks for your time. Always great to have you on.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.